Hello and welcome back to the Master of None podcast. I'm your host, Steve Murphy. I'm joined by one of the regular rugby crew, that is Sam, this week. We have no Wesley, unfortunately. The average hair length has significantly shrunk this week. But yeah, Sam, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Yeah, not too bad. Good sunny day. I was kind of just explaining to the kids in school on the way out that, you know, my mood is massively affected by the weather and the good weather and the hope of this weather staying. Vicious rumors about it not lasting past Thursday, but I don't know. Anything I've seen has been like it's not that bad after Thursday. It's just it's not as good. So I'm happy if it's in any way like this for a few days. I'm happy out.
Yeah, I think today and tomorrow are pretty sweet, and then I think it gets back to normality. But look at the last yesterday, today has been just gorgeous, and the sunshine just makes everything better. As you know, I'm big weather guy, big mood dependent on the weather guy. So yeah, the last few days has been good. Plus, we also have a Connacht win to talk about, which is also helping our mood. But yeah, before we get into that, Sam, let's talk about how was your weekend. The Corinthians turds continue on. They roll on into the final now of the Ardna Craig. Did I say that right?
Ardna Craig.
And I hear a centre scored another try.
I was actually on the wing this time.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
Mr. Versatile himself over here. Yeah. Starting on the right wing. Caught a stray clearance kick and put the head down, went for it. Kind of got past one or two and thought, geez, I'm doing all right here. So just went for the line instead of trying to kind of work back towards anything. I think when you're in that sort of position, it's either try and find some help or really back yourself and just don't get caught in between two minds. So I just decided for once to try and back myself. So yeah, I had a good game, a really enjoyable game to play in compared to last week, chalk and cheese. Last week we were playing uphill into the hailstones. Yesterday I used an entire bottle of sun cream to try and stop myself getting burnt because the idea of going to school on a Monday morning with sunburn and the viciousness of kids' words was haunting me forever. So really enjoyable semi-final now against Westport. Tough game, like this, put up a big score towards the end of it. But in the first half, you know, we knew we were in a game, and then roll on the final in 2 weeks' time, which I think is Wegians. So that'll be an interesting one. I think that's about the fifth time we played them this season. So it'll be a feisty affair. Yeah, a local derby.
Nice one. Yeah. No, I was golfing yesterday. Yeah, like prepping for the weather is just so different. You know, I had to find, I didn't even know where I kept the sun cream. I was like, where the hell did I put it 6 months ago when I needed it? You know what I mean? Is it gone off? Is it just like a solid now? It's not even liquid anymore. I don't know. But yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. And yeah, we went into the Connacht game too. Let's get stuck into that game. So Connacht hosted Zebre Saturday in the Dexcom Arena. Stadium, whatever you want to call it these days. And it was a huge, huge win for Connacht in the end. 54 points to 16. It was a 38 points, I think, difference. And a 7-try kind of route towards the end. Definitely wasn't, you know, the easiest game, especially the first half, wasn't all domination. But in the end, we got there in the end. A well-deserved win. And we'll get stuck into the performance in a second, Sam. But again, the main thing here after the last few weeks was a win and a bonus point win with the games left in the season. We were kind of saying a loss at the weekend there and your season's over. And even just the 4 points leaves you in a tougher position. We need the bonus point win. We got it. And that's huge just even for, I said, the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, mathematically, I didn't think anything was over regardless of the result. But talking to you before, I kind of thought to myself, yeah, it's one thing mathematically getting to top eight, but if you want to qualify for top eight, Zebre at home has to be a 5-pointer. The other top eight teams do that. You know, that's it. It's part and parcel of being in the league at the moment. Zebre probably come a bit stronger as the years go by. Benetton have shown that the Italian teams are growing. The introduction of the South African teams, Benetton have scored a lot of tries, or Zebre, sorry, have scored a lot of tries this season, but have failed to defend. But if you have eyes on top eight, if you want to qualify for Europe, it's not just about the getting there. It's also about being the team that deserves to be there. And you don't deserve to be there unless you're putting 5 points on this current Zebre at home. So it needed to happen. The atmosphere around the ground was brilliant considering the last number of weeks and kind of how turgid some of the performances have been and how down some of the atmosphere seemed surrounding the team. Kind of teams were named and people were questioning. And I think the introduction of like a Matty Devine and a Shane Jennings helped with the attitude and the atmosphere. And then the sunny day really brought in some people. Like talking to those people beside us when we were watching the match, and one of the lads had gone to go get chips. And he said that they were sold out, and this was midway through the second half. He said none of the vendors anticipated that level of crowd being there for Zebre, given the last couple of weeks. I do think a big part of that is because of the weather. It's you know, not something you have control over, but it does make for a much more enjoyable experience going to a game in a sunny, you know, Saturday evening.
Yeah, we had friends of ours, Marie and Alan, coming to their first ever game, and they got, 16, 17 degrees sunshine weather. And it's like, it's not always like this. It's actually very rarely like this. Normally you're wrapping up to avoid frostbite, and not, a beautiful sunny evening. But the sky was incredible as well towards the end. But the first half was by no means clinical. It wasn't by any means, all one way. And like, we'll get stuck into it now, but Devine, Matt Devine, making his kind of his debut, starting for the team, just signed a pro contract there a couple of weeks ago, and two moments of magic from him. Got Connacht the lead going into the half time. First of all, what a, as our Southern Hemisphere friends would say, a great debut for Devine. He looks really, really sharp. He looks really good. What I loved about his, especially his second try as well, it was pure instinct, and you mentioned it even about yourself there, but backing yourself, he saw a gap. He sniped from the base of the ruck, and a beautiful, actually, watching it back, a beautiful little step, a little goosey. Just it was just now, it probably helps when you weigh 70 kilos. I don't know what he weighs, but he's very light. He probably does glide on the pitch. Again, backed himself, took the physicality, and dotted over. And if it wasn't for those two moments of magic, Connacht could have been in real trouble, because getting into the 22, Sam, we saw in the first half, was not a problem. Put some really nice phases to play together. Then when it got to 22, I don't know if it was Zebre up the defensive pressure, but Connacht seemed to just lose a bit of their clinicalness, didn't they, in the 22?
Yeah, it's been ongoing all season. I actually don't think that there's been too much wrong with the majority of our play this year in terms of what structures and what we're trying to do. We can get the ball through, depending on who's in the centres. Your Bundy attracts a lot, and I think he had a flying game. I think he saw that on his face. I think he enjoyed himself the weekend, which is, you know, it's not something we said about Bundy in the last year or two. You know, he's looked like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders playing for Connacht, but him and Farrell really looked like they were enjoying themselves, and that translated onto good possession. Throughout the first half, we built up into their 22 countless times. And then it's been an ongoing issue all season. It's the clinicality in the 22, a lack of, I don't want to say expansive, because that leads you to believe, I think, that we just need to be throwing big Jack Hardy to Mac Hansen skip passes. That's not what I want, but I want something a little more inventive than what we were doing, because we weren't asking any questions when we got into the 22. We were forcing our way into the 22 quite easily and then not capitalizing on it. And that's been an issue ongoing. I think you saw a difference in the way that the forwards were running. I think Joyce took it a pace a bit more. He looked more like the Joyce at the start of the season, and maybe that is part of the game plan. But it all culminated, and it was all kind of put to it was all shown in how we played against 14 in the first half. You know, that's when we played against 14, we'd been playing quite good passing rugby. We'd been playing not expansive rugby, but flowing rugby with real intent. And then we played against 14, and we went into ourselves. The hood went up and we shut down, and it was like the opposite of what you want to do, or like the opposite of what you have an issue with. Usually against 14, I don't like to see teams throwing it willy-nilly and going for kind of crazy offloads and trying to really force the advantage. But we didn't look like we stuck to game plan. We looked like we went into ourselves, and that was the same in the 22. And I don't know if it's a self-confidence issue off the back of the last couple of months, maybe still a lack of a full understanding and appreciation of what the game plan is, but it did start to dissipate as we scored tries, and the confidence obviously grew. So to me, that would prove it's a confidence issue, and that they were a little bit self-conscious or lacking in confidence against 14 and in the 22. And then when it started to go right, I think they kind of went, "Oh yeah, this is how it's done. This is how we can do it." And obviously, you got to caveat that with it being Zebre, but then being at 14 men for a good period of time, and you know, when the heads go, like you saw them throwing in a few cheap shots and stuff, but I liked what I saw from Connacht after they gained a bit of confidence. In the first half, there were some of those issues that have been there all season, bit of sloppiness, not really making up for a mistake leading to a try. And that's not on an individual, that's just on Connacht this season have made a mistake and then doubled down on that mistake a couple of times this season. And we saw that in the try that they managed to score when they had the 14 men and not being able to capitalize on the 22 early. But that goes away when they get a bit more confidence. And hopefully this will be that kick up the arse boost of confidence that they need going into Roddy Parade next week, which is not an easy place to go. I know that they're not doing well in the league, but Connacht have never, ever done well there. And other teams do struggle to go there. It's a hard place to go, even if they're not the best team.
We'll look ahead in a few minutes as well. First half, we also saw what a lot of us have been asking for a long, long time, which was Niall Murray getting the ball on the wing. He's been out there a lot. It's not like the opportunity hasn't presented itself. Nearly every game he plays, he finds himself out in the wing calling for it. And we got a JJ kick over the top, bounced perfectly, and he dots over, which was brilliant, I think, for all the fans to see, because I said we have been calling it for a while. Which was fantastic. Second half, then it was all kind of one way. Connacht sort of just put some good phases together and made some breakthroughs and added up the scores towards the end. Tom Farrell scoring, Sean O'Brien, Bundy, and JJ himself dotted over in the 73rd minute, which provoked a bit of a, I wouldn't say a cheap shot, but a Zebra player pissed off at the scoreline kind of pushes JJ afterwards, and then Sam Elo breaks Usain Bolt's world record time. Of 9 point, was it 5 something, 100 meter sprint to go in there and basically back up his teammate. Which, look at, a lot of it is theatrics. A lot of it is, no one's gonna throw a punch really, but it's good to see, and it's something that shows a bit of team, camaraderie. Samuel was willing to do that, and again, just to back up his teammate JJ. Again, when things are going well, it's easy to do that. We don't tend to see that as much when things are going bad, but it was still, I like this. I like to see what I like to see it. Second half was much better. Yeah, I think one thing maybe we're a tad worried about was when the kind of forward replacements come on, Zebras seem to really up their scrum. We tend to get a bit, we got a bit blown off the ball there, give away a few penalties. Something to worry about, Sam, in terms of our replacements, or just Zebra replacements maybe bulked up a little bit?
I wouldn't know whether it's either, to be honest. Our replacements probably disjoint us a bit. We have in the past not reacted well to subs, but I've also complimented Wilkins and the subs that have been made this season and the impact they've had. Sometimes we've gone 6-2. We went 6-2 at the weekend, and that was is definitely with the idea of doing that. So I wouldn't put it down to either or, probably a mix of both, but they definitely went after a scrum or two when that happened, when our subs came on, and they got the upper hand on that. And I don't know if it's something that they've identified or something that throughout the game they decided to build on, but it was worrying for a minute or two. It didn't affect the grand scheme of things. If you're playing against Lions or Bulls or Leinster, your scrum's probably going to come under pressure a lot anyway. I think the Connacht are in that position at the moment. We're not going to be a dominant scrum force. I think locking out and when we're at the height of our strength, we're capable in the scrum. We're not necessarily going to be hugely dominant. Last year we had a unbelievable scrum stats. I think we were top of the leaderboard for scrum stats for quite a long time, but it wasn't for dominant scrums. It was for just not losing scrums, and that's where we need to be. So they got one or two on top of us. I wouldn't be overly worried about because of the position of the game we were on. Joe Joyce come off. There are changes. Dowling's just back. McIlroy coming on. I was impressed with Duggan, Elo, impressed with Finlay as always. I think that there was some good performances across those forwards. And I'm looking at the stats here. Conor Oliver with 19 tackles, and he's not featured as much as I'd like this season. I'm the number one fan in the Conor Oliver fan club, and I'd like to see him play more. But it's who do you leave out? It's Hurley Langton, or we got Prendergast having his break this week, and then JB's barely played. So we do have a very strong caliber of player. I think there's players like him, players like JB, who bring something else, something extra to that team, and it is that sort of grit and determination. So the scrum being gotten at by their forwards, I wouldn't put too much down there. They were a physical team. They were looking to impose, and they were obviously angry and pumped up. You saw that with the late hit on McIlroy and the kind of weird push on JJ. They were pumped up, and I think their forwards that was just channeled through their forwards in those one or two scrums. They got the upper hand on them. I wouldn't worry.
You mentioned the bench. I think that was probably, maybe it's just recency bias, but probably one of our strongest benches of the year. Like the front row strong, Dowling back, we're all big fans of him. As you said, JB, wealth of experience. I mean, Blade coming on as your scrum half replacement is unbelievable. And then you had, Kyle Ford, who's had an amazing season, and Paul Boyle, who's getting himself back into good form too. That's a great bench. It's flexible. Ford can play a couple of positions. He can kick. And then you have six very strong forwards to come on there. I thought that was a really nice bench. Let's talk about Finlay Beelam, his big night as well. He reached 200 appearances for Connacht, which brings him up to seventh on the all-time list, just behind Jack Carthy, Marmion, Tiernan O'Halloran, Buckley, Michael Swift, and John Muldoon. Still 127 appearances behind John Muldoon, which is crazy to say. That just shows you how often he's played. But yeah, Finlay, like 200 appearances, still a young man, still a young player. probably at his peak of his powers right now, Sam, especially the last kind of year or two. He seems to be only getting better, and obviously a fantastic servant for Connacht. He's a fan favorite for a reason. Not only a great player, but he's just a great dude as well. And what I loved about the, you know, Connacht released a nice clip of him saying a few words. I think it was before or after the game, I can't remember, but he said, "You allowed me to be myself," and that seems to be huge for Finlay. Finlay's an interesting character. He's very much his own personality, but that's probably what he needs to play his best rugby. And I think we've seen that over the years with Connacht, right?
Yeah, I think when he's comfortable, he's playing his best. He, you know, he got some caps early for Ireland, and then there was big talk that he was going to leave because he was falling out of the Ireland frame. Underappreciated outside of Connacht, always appreciated in Connacht. Always understood that he punched well above his weight. You know, he's not the biggest of tight heads in the world. He's not as large as some of those, you know, Pacific Islanders playing in France or of a Tadhg Furlong, but he's strong. I've heard it from other professionals that he is a seriously strong player, and he's grown from strength to strength, and he's built his game, he's developed his game, you know, from being that kind of utility prop to being now in contention to start for Ireland at tight head. Now, he's not Furlong levels, but he's been more consistent and more consistently available than Furlong for the last number of years, and he has grown the respect of both the media and the fans from around Ireland, and I love to see that for him, because like you said, he is just he's a nice bloke as well. He's a really good Connacht head on him, having moved here at a young age, he went, played a bit of AIL up in Ulster, played some Ulster Academy stuff and moved to Connacht, and the move suited him. He has been a great servant for us. I love that he stayed, you know, when the opportunity to move was there, because he was out of the Ireland contention, got himself back into Ireland contention, and is now, you know, he's the respect of everyone, which is fantastic for him. 200 caps is no mean feat. Like, I'm looking back at my own playing since I was 12 or 13, and I don't think I've played 200 games, let alone 200 professional caps for a club, plus whatever he's played internationally. And then I can't remember if he was included in Pat Lamb's Barbarians team with Buckley and the likes, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. So phenomenal for him, really good guy. And I think you said what he said there, that you allowed me to be myself. I think that makes him play the best. You've seen a side of Finlay since he got into the Ireland squad recently and got more comfortable in it himself. Porter, Healy, even like Peter O'Mahony, he seems to be a bit of a joker, and he seems to be appreciated himself, and Mac go down quite well with them. They're always kind of featured in the social media side of things, and maybe he wasn't comfortable being himself in the Ireland team the first time around, or the kind of first set of caps, but since he's allowed that persona and stuff to kind of come to the forefront, be himself, like he said, that probably allows him to play comfortably and to be comfortable in his skin and to play as well as he does. So really happy for him. I loved the words Buckley had about him before the game. I just saw a paragraph written, and it was kind of, we shared the pitch with him the most times. And yeah, what did you say? Buckley was on 200 and something caps there as well. You know, they're probably looking at 160, 170 games together as prop partners. And that's phenomenal going for professional rugby players. So a couple more years, hopefully, of him.
Yeah, Buckley's on 246. So yeah. Again,
so you can be talking 180 caps odd together, like, because their entire career has been side by side at Connacht.
And a shout out to Dave Heffernan, who's on 196 now. So in a couple of games, well, next three or four games, he'll be reaching that milestone too. So impressive to have that, I suppose, level of caps still playing at the one time at a province, especially in that front row where it's, you know, we all know how attritional that is on players and abrasive. So that's very, very impressive. A very much needed win for Connacht. Quick look at the table. It's moved them up one place to ninth. They're same points now as Ulster in 10th, but we have a better points difference.
Ulster won a game and went down. They started in 8th this weekend, and they're at 10th now. They won a game. That's how close this table is.
Yeah, you have basically 6th all the way down to 10th have all won the same amount of games. Sorry, Edinburgh have actually won one more game than all the rest of them around them, but the bonus points is not good for them. But yeah, some weird results of the weekend. Ospreys beat the Stormers. That's brought them very much into the mix. Lions, obviously, we're getting to now beat Leinster. So it's crazy. Like, and I know, like, Connacht, you could say, obviously, not been their best year, and it hasn't been their best year. We'll be the first people to say that, but, you know, they've only won 3 less games than Leinster, who are way out in front, and they've won 8 of their 14 games, and, you know, it's just so tight. It's, as I said, 5th place currently is 42 points, and 11th has 39. So that's 3 points across, what is it, 6 spots. It's crazy.
And there's some big games coming in the next couple of weeks. Now, every possible result outside of the Connacht game went against Connacht at the weekend. So thank God we won. But I was looking at it going like, there's a couple of good results here. Was it Stormers lost and Edinburgh won in the end as well? And just looking at all, looking at the results going, how is this happening? But it is
Yeah,
what
I
it
think
is.
it's going to be an incredibly tight and exciting kind of top eight race. I would much rather be viewing it from like fourth position than ninth, but such is life, and it'll be fantastic if we make it, and obviously heartbreaking if we don't. But we will adjust that, and we'll address it as it comes. But also, shout out before we move on, great to see Porchy back on the pitch as well. We're all big Porchy fans here. Hasn't played obviously much this year due to, I think, having a baby and then also injuries, and he has had surgery and stuff. So great to see him back on the pitch, and he again straight away stuck back in. No messing around with Porchy. He's back in, he's physical, he loves it. So great to see him back on the pitch.
He moved into full back for a period there. They kept Jennings on, moved Jennings to the wing. Like Jennings, I thought Jennings was excellent with the ball in hand. Couple of mistakes, he looked nervy under the high ball, and that's to be understood if you make the mistake early. So I wouldn't be blaming him. I've a lot of high hopes for him. He's a quality player, and he did look really good ball in hand. But I thought Porchy looked more secure full back. So I'd like to see Porchy full back just going towards the end of the season. I think, if you got Mack coming back, Jennings there, Bolton coming back, Ralston coming back, and then potentially Santi before the end of the season. Fortune should just be slotting in full back for me.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while now, but it doesn't seem to be happening. But look at, hopefully. Speaking of, you said Ulster, they did win, but unfortunately lost a few spots. But they beat Cardiff 19-17. And this was messy. This was by no means clinical as well. I think Connacht and Ulster are in a lot in that same boat as well. Big try saving tackle from Isichuku, but the legality of it is questionable because he, I think, the boot kicks the ball out, which apparently is illegal, but it wasn't called on the day, and Ulster come out 2-point victors over Cardiff at home. Huge result in terms of keeping them alive, Sam, for the top eight. But again, they're just similar to Connacht in a lot of ways. Nothing's ever seems to be simple. Nothing's ever easy. It's always nerve-wracking up to the last minute. But look, a win's a win, right?
A win's a win, just about really for Ulster in this one. Now, I've been there as a Connacht fan. I've been, on the receiving end of lucky calls. There was a few lucky calls in this one. And I think Cardiff can feel very, very aggrieved, and it would have been a massive victory for Cardiff. It would have pulled them right up into the mix if they had gotten the win there. So I think that they can feel aggrieved. I think Ulster can feel very fortunate, and it's now up to Ulster to build on that fortune and to go forward in the next couple of weeks and to try and get a couple of good results. Richie Murphy's come in and they've been on the road ever since. It's been a tough couple of weeks for them, some tough games, straight to South Africa and then Europe, and it's not easy. So I think that they will have liked the 1 or 2 weeks at home, get a little bit of chance to implement a few things, and then look at, what's best available to Richie Murphy and what he can do with the team. Because I thought, I know he's not there at the end of the season and they wouldn't want to be doing a Connacht on it and not playing, but Billy Burns changed the game when he came on. I thought he was much better. Don't think that's a slight on Flannery. He's got a long-term future with them, but it just wasn't happening for him. A couple of players weren't really clicking, most likely to do with confidence. They've had a tough couple of weeks up in the air, contract situations in the club. The whole thing is a bit of a mess. So to get away with the win in the manner they did, they need to now build on that. You can get away with one or two. We said it after Connacht beat Cardiff. It wasn't a great performance, but we got the win. It's like, okay, now you don't let that slip up. Now you don't let that just mean nothing. You have to build on that. And they should, they've got, is it Benetton at home now this week? And that's not an easy game, but at least it's Benetton at home and not away. So you have an opportunity there to try and get another home win and try and build and that momentum. And they should be in the mix towards the end of the season. They got past that South Africa trip. I thought they'd get out of the South Africa trip and Connacht would be ahead of them, but we didn't capitalize on their results there. So it's all to play for them. If they can build on the good fortunes and maybe the positivity around players like McCann, Isichuku when he came on. I thought Lowry looked very good back in the wing. And Will Addison, even though he's probably off, looked quite good. So there are players there that they just need to band around and try and kind of almost, steal a little bit of positivity or confidence from, because some of them look devoid of confidence completely.
Yeah, their last four fixtures are, as you said, they're hosting Benetton April 26th, this Friday. Then they are away to Scarlets, which again you would imagine also should win, but like I mean, I don't know how you would have much confidence in terms of saying that. And then they host Leinster, and then at the last day of the season they are away to Munster. So you would hope they would win the next two for their sake, and then similar to kind of Connacht in those kind of last few fixtures, you're hoping to basically claw as many points as possible, because I don't see how you could eye those two few fixtures at the end and I suppose confidently look at them as you know, big points hauls. I'm not saying that they can't beat Leinster at home or Munster away, but I mean, form would dictate that that's not really on the cards. But yeah, big win this
Form against
weekend. But
Leinster is pretty good.
there it is. But like the last couple of seasons. But like even Ulster Bennett on this weekend, like, you know, I would say to you, like, oh, that should be a win. And then like on the fixture list here, you know, it shows their position on the table, and Benetton's fifth and Ulster's 10th. I know it's very tight, but still, like it's not as if it's. You know, no one knows better than us how good Benetton can be as Connacht fans the last couple of weeks. But yeah, again, they're part of the top eight race. Exciting to see how it all pans out. A team that's not involved in the top eight race is Leinster. They travelled down to Emirates Airline Park to play the Lions, and they got their asses handed to them. Sam, which is something that you don't often hear on this podcast. Lions beating Leinster 44 points to 12. I think Westy summed this up lovely in our WhatsApp group. Even when you want Leinster to win, because it would have benefited kind of for Lions to lose this game, they go and let you down and they lose. Only was it their third or fourth game of the year. Yeah, I suppose Sam. Obviously, no real hindrance to Leinster in terms of their league positioning. You know, they're still going to be top one or two, probably going to be top of the table. But did you expect this result?
I didn't expect the result. I did fancy Lions to win it just because going to Lions, it's at altitude. It's a really, really hard place to go, Ellis Park or whatever it's called now, Emirates Stadium or Emirates Airline Stadium. So it's a tough place to go. And that Lions team, they've been up and down all season. They were brilliant against Connacht, but then the trips around Europe, and they didn't do anything in Europe against Benetton. The trip around Europe kind of, it was tough on them. And I've heard from someone who knows someone in the organization that they were on a shoestring budget traveling around Europe. They weren't eating particularly well and they weren't staying in the best of places. So to get home might have given them a new lease of life. They want to have laid down a marker. They want to try and change their fortunes and to have, you know, Leinster traveling. It's not a weak Leinster team by any chance. Leinster have sent weaker teams to South Africa, but it's a tough place to go. And they've been playing really well and they looked very cohesive in the way that they played. They're a team that plays, they play together a lot. They don't lose like significant amounts of players for Springboks training camps the way maybe the other South African teams do. So I was expecting Lions to win, but I thought it'd be a lot closer. The stall was set from the outset, you know, the kickoff not going to hand and them scoring within 50 or 60, within 50 seconds or a minute. And then just to keep going and summed up really in the last passage of play when Leinster tried to go for just that score for saving face, wasn't going to do anything in particular, and Lions got the ball and scored the try. Overall, just a poor day at the office for Leinster. You could chalk that down to maybe an emotional tiredness after the La Rochelle game. It's probably been a tough couple of weeks for them emotionally to try and build up to have the performance they did last week and then to travel down, change up what most likely have been a lot of pairings and groups and partnerships in training and change those up, not significantly, but a little bit. For this match takes its toll on you. So I'd say Leinster won't be too annoyed about it, but I don't, you know, I don't agree with you completely that it's, you know, it's not going to be massive significance to them because they do have another South African game now. And Munster will be eyeing getting in there. And Bulls have a couple of games that they're winnable. They'll be eyeing and pushing into it. And Glasgow are hot on their heels. So you can go from first to third quite easily, and that would be significant enough for Leinster. You know, they want to finish first. They don't want to finish second or third. They don't want to just get into the knockouts. They want the home run the entire way there. So much as I see them probably winning out the rest of the games, it's not as easy as you think. You know, they could still have an upset or two. They'll have to think about Europe. They'll have to manage the way that the team, they'll have to manage the way that their players interact and the way that their players play. They would have probably eyed sending a few home from South Africa this week before the Stormers game to get ready for Europe. And I don't think they'll be able to do that now. I think they'll have to try and go for it against Stormers because where are Stormers in the league then? Stormers are probably knocking around
They're
same
sixth.
six there. Yeah, so they're not going to, Stormers aren't going to roll over. They're not going to catch Leinster, but they're also going to want to try and solidify their place in the top eight and a win at home before they travel, because they're coming to us and they don't traditionally travel as well. It's not plain sailing for Leinster, which is just good for the league overall. I think that the URC and the sponsors will all be licking their lips at the fact that the last 4 weeks mean a lot. There is significant games every game because of the jeopardy involved in first and second. Third, fourth are there. The jump between fifth and fourth is still available to Benetton. They could get past Bulls. I don't think that they'll get past Munster, but they could get into fourth if the Bulls results don't go their way. And then anyone from fifth to 11th is in there, and Cardiff at the very, very outside chance. So it's massive for the league as a competitive structure, because, you know, for too long we've seen Leinster just kind of walking the regular season, and then they've not actually won in the last couple of years. But it's been a bit of a cakewalk for them. And to not be able to send the kids to South Africa is going to be big. And for the wins in South Africa for European teams is going to be huge. You know, Bulls losing at the weekend is massive. So that it's opening up the whole table. And I don't think it's going to be as easy for Leinster as it could and should be. They're not going to walk the rest of the season. They will have to play significant good rugby.
Yeah, I think the fact that they've even lost three games and potentially might lose one more or so on the way in is huge, because you know when the URC started, it was all the talk was Leinster undefeated, and you know they're going to go the whole league without losing games, and you know all that sort of stuff. So it's come a long way in that sense. I just want to highlight again, and again, I'm a broken record when it comes to this. Scott Penny started the weekend. Like, is this what Scott Penny wants his life to be? Is it like I keep hearing how amazing Scott Penny is, how you know of a world class player he is and all that, and this is his life. He goes on the weekend teams down to South Africa, and you know like what I don't know. Maybe again he's still young. What is he, mid-20s, at this stage? But like I don't know. I just kind of want to see more for him than this life. But again, we shall see, I suppose. Good, yeah. Look, it's good for the league, 100%. Was it good for Connacht? No, but look, Leinster don't care about that. Yeah, their last games are Stormers, obviously, this weekend. They are hosting the Ospreys then on the Saturday, 11th of May. Then they're away to Leinster or away to Ulster, and then they host Connacht, which is you can pencil that one in for a win for Connacht. They're calling that now, Sam. Calling that
Just
now.
for them, like that's Ulster and Connacht and Ospreys as well. You know, they're all in the hunt for that top eight, so none of them are going to be going and rolling over. Leinster can put out B teams and B and a half C teams against us. We've seen it in the past and they've been dominant, but it could come down to the last day. We could be struggling for a point or two, and it's not going to be easy. And they will have in the past wanted to rest up for the European games, and that's just not going to be available to them, because they've away in South Africa now against Stormers, and then they've Ospreys, ourselves, and Ulster, all who are fighting each other for points. So if one of them can take a scalp from Leinster, that's kind of like, you know, those 8 point swings or 6 point swings you talk about in soccer. It could be significant for the outcome of the league. So really interesting last couple of weeks. I'm so excited.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to be. It's great. It's great that it's competitive. Moving on to the last Irish team, and probably the most impressive win, not only of this round, but one of the most impressive wins of the season. Munster travelled down to play Bulls in Loftus-Versfield, and come out on top, 27 points, 22. Very strong Munster team. They backed themselves. They named the big team and went down there. You know, you have internationals all over the pitch. Snyman and Byrne together, your Romani, Kandela and Jack O'Donoghue, Murray and Crowley as your 9-10, Frisch in your centre alongside Nankervell, Nash and Zeebo as well. Like, plenty of talent, but still going down to the Bulls and getting a win down there is huge. They'll take so much confidence from that. That's a typical kind of Munster win that they probably shouldn't have, you know, shouldn't be going there to win, and they go and do it. Some big tries from Hodnett and Murray towards the end. A great game from Murray too, and they come out and Sam, just a massive, massive performance and a massive, massive win. And these are the performances where you're like, you know, that's where you're envious of Munster when they can go down and do stuff like that, because it's not every team can do that, right?
No, I think that there's an emotion attached to Munster that their players kind of never say die. They love a big upset. They love traveling. They've always traveled well. Anytime, you know, since I've started supporting rugby, they've traveled well. Even when they're at their low ebbs, they're still capable of big European games or big upsets like this. And if any team, if you're going to put money on any team to be the first European team to win their in the URC, it was going to be them. Just they can do that. And it's horrible from the outside watching on. Then you think about the significance for them in terms of getting up. If they can get themselves a home game or two, it could be another run at the final. It could be another run at winning the league, you know, with a home run. Having had ourselves and other people in the media and other podcasts talk about how poor they've been or how riddled with injuries they've been all season. So for them to do it was a massive game. It was really dogged. I think that they came out of a battle. I think that they got fortuitous at times, and they're the type of team that takes advantage of fortune. I see Connacht, and we don't take advantage of good fortune. You know, balls don't bounce our way, and you make your luck. And I think that happens with Munster. I think that, you know, Murray's try was just significant. The way that he scored it, the loop play, the him coming on and doing it, all of those things I think happen because it's Munster and Munster in it. And it's, you know, it's a tough watch to come out from the outside, but you do have to feel like it's good for the league in the long run that Bulls have been beaten at home, because it was too predetermined. You know, going away to Bulls is like send a weakened team if you want. You know, it's not going to happen. So to a man, they all played exceptionally well. I was very impressed again with Crowley. I think he's growing into himself in terms of his play. He's managing it, and to have an ankle and Frisch outside and probably helps that as well. Shane Daly, quality player. I think he's just unlucky with the timing in terms of where he is in, you know, his age and the Irish team at the moment. But, you know, if he was playing in another era, he might have a lot more caps than he does. And then, you know, Conor Murray to go off and then come back on, be done up with cramp and still be able to score that try in the last minute, it's very, very admirable. You know, I've been critical of Conor Murray in the last number of years. I think he's one of, if not Ireland's best ever scrum half. JPG might be getting, or JGP might be getting on that now, but he had a tremendous game. It wasn't the Conor Murray of old, but he did exactly what was needed, and he was a calm, professional, experienced head when Casey went off for that HIA. You know, they got lucky maybe with the red card, but I don't like saying that that was the reason anyone won, because I hate it when Connacht are caveated every time they win, because we were playing against a weakened team, we were playing against a team with 14 men. It happens in rugby that players can get sent off for big high tackles like that. When I first saw it, I actually didn't think he made contact, and then you saw the slow motion and he definitely did, and it was observed red. But it was a big swing because they'd scored a try off that same move. So for that swing to happen and then for Munster to be able to capitalize on it the way other teams can't was massive. So huge, huge result for them. I thought in particular Hodnett was just outstanding when he came on. I thought he just brought such a level of ferociousness and physicality to the game, and he's a tremendous player, much like I said with Daly. It's just unfortunate the timing of his career trajectory right now. He might not get the Ireland accolades or caps that he deserves. And same, I think the same Conor Oliver. I'm gonna throw Conor Oliver in there anytime I can, because he's the same. They're in a stacked back row at the moment, and they're maybe a little bit 270, one-dimensional seven, and not as much kind of versatility there. So yeah, can only say through gritted teeth, phenomenal result for Munster. Pains me to say it, but it's a huge, huge opportunity for them now going forward towards the end of the season. Getting that result there is just, that's like points you didn't anticipate having at the start of the season. It's like bonus points.
Yeah, I know on Twitter a lot of South African fans were giving out the refereeing. Now
No way.
take that with a pinch of salt.
And the Welsh fans in the one weekend?
I know,
No.
right? You could just basically put any team that loses fans that is giving out a refereeing. But look at I'm sure Munster got away with murder. This is what they do. But like, if you know the referee's not calling it and you don't do the same thing, or you don't try and do the same thing, then you're. I mean, do I morally agree with it? No, of course not. But like, you're being left behind if you don't. I wish Connacht were more like that. You know, Munster and the great teams have always been like that. You look back at any of the great teams of all time, New Zealand, in their pomp. You know, England at their pomp. Ireland as well. Like, we know the modern day Ireland get away with murder at the breakdown. But again, if the ref's not calling it, then you'd be foolish not to. So,
The funniest part about it was Conor Murray was actually kind of making the ref not call it by just constantly in the ear about them doing it. I was like, he was saying it, and the ref was warning him. He's like, I want you to stop talking to me. Players in your team need to start. Tadhg Byrne was the same. And then I was going, like, I actually think it's a genius tactic. I think that they're highlighting something that they're doing wrong, so the ref can't be reactionary, because it looked to everyone watching on TV that Conor Murray and Tadhg Byrne were telling the ref that the thing they were doing wrong was what Bowles were doing. And that way, like, Bowles had no leg to stand on when they tried to address it. So it's seriously, seriously 4D chess dark arts if that was the case.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's reverse psychology. Looking at Munster's running, they are playing the Lions this weekend. That they sh again, I expect them to win that, but Lions obviously are full of confidence at the moment. Then they play us on the 11th of May in Thomond, away to Edinburgh, and then home to Ulster. I don't expect them to drop out of that third place. I don't think they'll catch Glasgow either. They're 5 points behind Glasgow, but you never know. But they're again, no one's going to want to play them in the playoffs. Hitting form at the game and the right time, they're going to have all the confidence in the world defending their title. And it could be a fantastic couple of weeks again for Munster. Who knows? They're not going to fear any team themselves either. Having gone down to South Africa and beaten last year and then beaten the Bulls this year, there's no fear factor there anymore either. Which is again great for the league. Like again, this the playoffs. Even as it finished now, there's plenty of storylines, plenty of great subplots, plenty of great games on the horizon as well, and all very very exciting as a fan of the sport. Obviously, as a fan of Connacht, I hope that they're involved with that. And yeah, another weekend of URC action ahead of us this weekend too. A must-win game. I suppose they're all must-win games now at this stage in terms of. All the provinces, well, Ulster and Connacht anyway, they're very much in must-win situations. Hopefully, we will be back next week to recap that as well. Yeah, unfortunately, I said Wes couldn't be here today. He sends his regards, but he'll be back next week, I'm sure, to recap all the action. Sam, appreciate you coming on as always, and we'll catch you next week.
Night-night.